Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhisattva's attitude or motivation, we call bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
Sanji ji kumbharam ki thwaya khe dang daga na yi ga raan kipu ane kowe dunghe le tharane thabe kumbhar thwaya ji ta dili ki ki madra ji ta nyi si namdu ta dili nye raan jeg ji ki ane ta sumde changgu aris.
Generally speaking, we could talk about three spiritual goals that an individual person or practitioner can aim at. Of course, the highest spiritual goal is that of enlightenment or Buddhahood, and which is, by the way, sought for the benefit of all other sentient beings. But then there is another kind of spiritual goal, which is what we call complete personal freedom from samsara or cyclical existence. It's called nirvana. Okay? Now, that kind of spiritual goal is sought, you know, primarily to liberate just oneself from the state of suffering. And now, this kind of spiritual goal can be classified, if you will, into two. When we look from two different Buddhist perspectives, there is the vehicle or the perspective of hearers or shravakas, and then there is the perspective or the vehicle of solitary realizers or patika Buddhas.
No, no, that temporarily miss. That indeed you can tapas in the Mr. Jusum to us.
I think Kishila is trying to steal away my job here. pretty soon I won't have any job on Sundays. So now the point we are trying to make here is there are three types of liberation, if we use that English term to translate the Sanskrit term called nirvana or tarva in Tibetan. Right? There is enlightenment or Buddhahood, which also is categorized under the rubric of this term called liberation. And then there are two other types of liberation, that of hearers and that of solitary realizers.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not matter really which of these three types of spiritual goals that one seeks, but at a very foundational level, you know, everybody has to, go for refuge in the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and abide by the refuge precepts or the refuge vows. So what is involved in the practice of refuge is that we must have a complete faith or trust in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. It is clearly stated in a sutra, as Geshe-la quoted the statements from sutra from his memory, which basically says that just as a mother's existence precedes the birth of a child, right? In the same way, faith precedes any kind of spiritual realization, big or small, right? So now when we look at this example, as it's very understandable, that in order for a child to be born, there has to be mother, right? A mother has to exist first, right? And without a mother, there's no way to be born, at least from the womb. And in the same way, in order for us to be able to gain any kind of spiritual realization or deep experiences or understanding, whatever you want to call it, we must have, that kind of faith that I was, talking about.
And that sanjite, sanjitan chweta gindus, that thing, that thing told, lama de ngun tambu shaguris. Lama de shamdu shayta ngun tambu, tuba chimbi, that tuba chimbi. And the chweta wanda shayna, Lama thing about that, Lama Sanji Kundro, Sanji Kundu, his Jamari, that Lama than Sanji in Botan Woki Tago, Shazan Sumitani, that Lama the Sanji Levi Teva, Chile Tevi Teva, Gindula Tevi Teva, Tang Eva Gores.
So, from Mahayana Buddhism point of view, or greater vehicle Buddhism point of view, when we seek refuge, first we go for refuge in Guru or Lama, which is the Tibetan translation of the Sanskrit term Guru, a spiritual teacher. And then we go for refuge in Buddha, we go for refuge in Dharma, the teachings, and we go for refuge in Sangha, spiritual community. Okay? So the Lama or the Guru comes first. Now here we really must understand that although the Guru is distinctively expressed from the other three jewels, and as a matter of fact, at the very beginning, but Guru is, if we were to categorize Guru within the three jewels, Guru is a Buddha. Okay? But so we must never come to this kind of a response like, how many objects of refuge are there? Now we can say four. There's a Guru, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, because Guru is Buddha. Yeah. So, in other words, that we see our guru or spiritual teacher as being inseparable from Buddha or enlightened being.
No, no. That she want to say that Shandu you let that cargo was the key to Karasana. Shandu Sumba want that Sunga wants in the Higur. No, that take out cargo was in the never the time. Ninjun the Gugur. That only in the Ninju Sansianta Tawa Sumta, Yamian Dos in Germany, Kanan Yori, T Nanita, Ninju de Sanju Sumbo Kanichina to Tobala Ninju Ding about Google.
So here I'm really kind of overviewing some of the fundamental things which are common to all the Buddhist paths, whether we are seeking enlightenment as a spiritual goal or we're seeking is it one of the two types of liberation or nirvana as a spiritual goal. So at the very foundation, all Buddhist monks seek refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And from my inner perspective, what really comes here is Guru, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So that's how we take refuge in them. And then the second important thing is to cultivate what is called renunciation, okay? To develop aversion to the misery in samsara or cyclical existence. In Tibetan it's called nye jung, okay? Literally means, you know, it's just like a definite deliverance. You know, it is like delivering yourself out of samsara, okay, for sure. Okay? But it is called, translated as renunciation or aversion to misery in samsara. And that's really key, you know, to, again, finding either liberation from samsara or enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. And as a matter of fact, Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, when he had a vision of Manjushri and Manjushri spoke to him, and that's all captured in a very powerful and wonderful work called Three Principal Paths, Lamso Namsum in Tibetan. Okay, Three Principal Paths. The first path is again the development of renunciation. Okay, that's a key. So in order to renounce, we are talking about renouncing something here, right? So it's really important for us to understand what are we trying to renounce, okay? When we try to cultivate aversion, aversion to what?
Yes. So
the aversion that we are developing is in relation to suffering and cause of suffering or source of suffering, because those are the, you know, things we do not want. Okay, so we are developing aversion to suffering and its causes. So how do we develop aversion to suffering and its causes? Of course, we have to educate ourselves about the nature of suffering, the extent of the suffering, and what brings them into our life and everybody's life. And as we educate ourselves about these issues of the matters, and then we started to see what is wrong with suffering and its causes. There's something not good about them, right? And why we shouldn't like them, right? So when we know about the disadvantages or the faults of suffering and its causes, then, you know, we are able to develop aversion to them. Let me give you a very down-to-earth example to illustrate this point, right? Now, let's assume that our environment and our home or the house we live in is a really messy one, okay? But for some reason, we don't see it messy. We just see it all just fine. Okay, so if that is our recognition of the feeling, we are never going to think about moving out, right? Because this is just fine, you know. So we really don't see the messiness of our environment and our home. So when people see that this is really a messy place to be, I can't really think of this as my home, I can't believe I put myself in this environment, you know, then people started, okay, I got to move somewhere, you know, where it is not messy. So then when we really, to the extent you feel it is very intense, right, this is really messy, I cannot tolerate it anymore. Even to be here for a moment is long enough, right? See? Mm-hmm. So if such intense feeling is there, then you just don't lose any time, you know, to just move out. So in the same way, if we develop the same kind of recognition and understanding of, you know, what is wrong with suffering in discourses, right? If that kind of a recognition and understanding and experience are intense, right? Then such people, they really do not wish to, even for a moment anymore, to be in samsara, because it's not a fun.
Mm.
Of course, so there are many sides to this whole thing. It is, you know, one thing to be able to recognize that samsara is a messy environment or, you know, a situation to be in, and I really need to get out of it. Well, that's good. But if we only have that much feeling, but we really don't know where we can go to a better place, so to speak, or situation, then again, there's a problem here, right? So we really need to understand that nirvana or nibbana or liberation is a very wonderful state to be in. So we got a place that is really very different and you know, it is, so to speak, a perfect situation to be in. So it's very important for us, on the one side, to see the faults of samsara, its suffering, its causes, and then also to be able to see that there is a better choice. So as we cultivate aversion to samsara or single existence, or we try to renounce samsara, now when we reach a point where, you know, day and night, day in and day out, we have this feeling that I really do not want to be in samsara anymore, but I really want, you see, to be in nirvana or liberation. We find ourselves seeking liberation day in and day out. If that kind of, you know, the feeling or aspiration is present in our mind, then that means we have developed a renunciation. So here I quote the words of Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerembuche or Gyawa Loksandawa, you know, all those different names, but the same person we are talking about sitting over there and watching us. And he said, I guess Keshe quoted the lines from his memory, day in and day out, if you have the aspiration seeking liberation, chungna, if you have that, then you got the nyenjung, then you really got the, what is called renunciation. So let's assume that we have reached that point that we have cultivated and we experience this aversion to samsara and we are constantly seeking liberation from samsara or nirvana. Okay, so that's wonderful. We're right there. And then from my inner perspective, which I just want to mention here and then I'm going to move into something else, is it's not just enough to have that renunciation. What we really need is, what is indispensable here for the my inner practitioners, is to combine it with the cultivation of bodhicitta or bodhisattva's attitude. Okay, so you've got to add bodhicitta to that. Okay, so just keep it in your mind and then let me kind of a detour a little bit here. So now let's say we have cultivated the renunciation here, and it's very wonderful, we are seeking liberation all the time, but really we've got to now find the ways or the means or the methods to get there, right, the path. It's not enough to recite some kind of mantras, which is wonderful, okay, or just to be able to make some kind of aspirational prayers, may such and such things happen, X, Y, Z, okay. That's nice, but it's not going to cut it, okay. So just the prayers and mantra recitations is not going to cut here. So we really got to find the path or the method that lead us to that state we are seeking, liberation, so we need to cultivate it within ourselves. So at this point, let's say one has cultivated, you know, one has renounced, truly renounced, okay? We are just not faking it all out, right? We're just kind of, we're truly renounced samsara, its suffering, its causes. We're seeking liberation all the time. Now if one decides, okay, I'm going to take this path of hearers or shravakas, okay? One could do that. well, I'm going to take this path of solitary realizers or Pratyeka Buddhas, one could do that, because each of these paths leads to what we call freedom from samsara or sickly existence. Okay? So what is involved in this path? Right? What are we talking about? So what is involved here is to cultivate what is known as three higher trainings, in Tibetan called Lava Sum. Lava as trainings and Sum as three. So there are three higher trainings which needs to be cultivated.
Number two, my pe those in the test sum begin Lava Sum change the humor. Lagbe Lagbar, which is Sums Lagbe Lagbar. Carrizen Lagbe Lagbar Sigway Carrizen and a Tai Lu Yenda Tang. Lava Sum, but you can that Yenda and Sum you are something you are saying here. Kira damit of here and the Yamar the Yenaya. Cure the Nanji Hiraki Yedia Kunzel. You then tell number two, maybe number Sanji, but Lakpe Lakwar, which assumes they can, there's in that Lama commanded the Kanan was.
So, according to the words of our precious lineage gurus of the masters, you see, they use, even the way they use the expressions of the terms very carefully, says, when we talk about the three trainings in the Buddhist literature, they are referred to as Lakpe Lava Sum. Lakpe as in something extraordinary or special. Okay, Lava Sum means training. So these are three special trainings, or some often we translate as three higher trainings. Okay, so what has the word Lakpe, special or higher or whatever way we translate it, what does it mean? Right? What it really means is that in other spiritual traditions, they do talk about three trainings, right? They do talk about ethics, and they do talk about some samadhi or concentration development, and there is some kind of wisdom development. It may not be the wisdom realizing selflessness or emptiness, though, but there is, mention about developing certain kind of wisdom. So those are, three trainings. But in Buddhism, so we use the term called special or extraordinary or higher, in order to differentiate the Buddhist practices, if you will, from other, similarly called trainings or practices.
Hari is na kande yar sena. Shuru pali kine gom jyar. Kine gom ne ane deve nyamo panchi yar. Deve nyamo pan zuj nyamo panchi ne. Pe sande zume jipat ta zume sisi pan doji yar jiba kuran kuran jo tu yar. So ja kine gom ne ta ti jesu ta kar gom jung ta kere ni chise jyar dore. There's something in the Quran, so I think the temple any cure of the Nanji Hereti, Kunzula Yodi. Sure, the Narazo that tell you Hagbachi. Karin is the Narazo to Hawi Lover with somebody Koata, Koi Juli, a Patayaka, Julian Drunki, Tita, to make some good derwa.
Okay, let me try to explain a little more about what we're talking about here. That in, say, Hinduism, they really have the method or the practice by which one can cultivate what is called calm abiding or shamatha, single-pointed concentration of a higher level. Okay, and so with that kind of a practice and the development of shamatha, mental quiescence or mental tranquility or calm abiding, whichever term you prefer. So what happens is that temporarily they're able to overcome, you see, certain delusions of the desire realm of existence, certain delusions associated with the form realm of existence, but they are even at a really higher level of the formless realm of existence. By the way, they are right on the top of samsara. It is called the peak of samsara. Sitse, right on the top, okay, of samsara. How? By developing, you see, calm abiding, which is a very deep level of concentration, but then you got stuck there, And they do develop certain kind of intelligence or wisdom, and which still is within the category of what we call worldly wisdom, but it's a higher level. It's within that, okay? And so now how do the Buddhist higher trainings differ from that is, all the Buddhist higher trainings, we call the special trainings, or Lakpe Lava Sum in Tibetan, all of them are what are called antidotes to delusions. To be able to get rid of delusions for good, not just temporarily overcome them, okay, or diminish them, but to really get rid of them for good. So that's why the three higher trainings or the special trainings that we talk about in Buddhism are the real antidotes to tackle the suffering of samsara and its causes. So one may follow the path of Sharvakas or the hearers, or may follow the path of solitary realizers or the Patika Buddhas, but within each path we do find three trainings, you know, relating to each path. So now from Mahayana Bodhisattva's point of view, it's not enough to do certain practice that becomes an antidote to delusions which trap us just in samsara, but we really got to cultivate a path of practice, you know, that can lead us to complete enlightened state, not just out of samsara, but to the state of Buddhahood. Okay, now say, we seek refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, or Guru, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha from Mahayana perspective. We cultivate aversion to the misery in samsara. Let's say we have it, right, under our belt. So now if one wants to follow the Mahayana pattern practices, now it is this point where one have the diversion here. One needs to cultivate bodhicitta or bodhisattva's attitude here. It's very important for us to be able to differentiate clearly, is that what are the paths we must cultivate to find, what kind of spiritual goals or goals. So by that, what I mean to say is we must understand that cultivating the wisdom, realizing emptiness as it is, the ultimate nature of phenomena, that is absolutely necessary, you see, for all the three paths of Buddhism, whether you want to take the path of hearers or the path of solitary realizers or the path of bodhisattvas. So cultivating that wisdom gone beyond is absolutely necessary for all the three paths. Of course, it's very important for to understand the rationale behind that. What's the reason, why everybody insisting that we must cultivate the wisdom gone beyond? The rationale behind that is that without such a wisdom, we cannot uproot delusions for good from within our mind. Right? Because the root of the delusion, the root of samsara will remain in our mind. So that means we get stuck, you know. So if we want to uproot delusions from within our mind and the system, then we've got to cultivate the wisdom gone beyond. And then we must understand that if we decide to follow either the path of hearers, Shravakas, or the path of solitary realizers, Patika Buddhas, we do not need to cultivate bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is not a necessary part of their paths and practices. That being said, if our goal is to find complete enlightened state, we want to be a Buddha, right? Then it is absolutely necessary that we cultivate bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond, together. Okay, that's called the method and wisdom. We need to integrate the method and wisdom, bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond together, only if our goal is to find a complete enlightened state.
So, Sanju ji sem rangi li xeba gane, tongi tobi xera sungdu mandre na, ane sanji kompa da tok tokuyo ma res.
So what do we mean by that? We really need to unify or combine together or integrate bodhicitta and wisdom gone beyond together to find enlightenment. We could have one of them. Let's say we have bodhicitta, which is a very wonderful attitude, right? But if we don't have the wisdom gone beyond, we will never be an enlightened being.
Oh, yes. That's
So as practitioners of Mahayana Buddhism or Bodhisattva's way of life, I think our goal is complete enlightened state. We want to be enlightened being for the sake of, for the benefit of all other beings. So therefore, if that's our goal, then what do we need to cultivate or practice? We need to cultivate the integrated path of bodhicitta and wisdom gone beyond. So what I'm saying is, it's absolutely necessary that we practice both bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond together if we are seeking complete enlightenment. Okay. Now that being said, you know, one could cultivate bodhicitta first and then cultivate wisdom gone beyond later, or one can reverse the order. One could cultivate the wisdom gone beyond first or bodhicitta later, because by the way, you know, I mean, there are practitioners, you know, who follow, you know, either of these ways. So this whole thing, teaching, is based on the assumption that people are seeking complete enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. In other words, people are interested in bodhisattva paths and practices. So therefore, Buddha said that we must cultivate bodhicitta and wisdom gone beyond together. And it is possible for some people to cultivate either of them first and then do the other next. So there are those, you know, practitioners who first cultivate the wisdom gone beyond and then, you know, bodhicitta, or the bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond. But again, you know, we have to understand those things, the approaches. But at the same time, I would like to say that for a Mahayanist, in some sense, it's really very essential for us to cultivate bodhicitta first, because without bodhicitta, anything we do or practice really does not become, right, a cause of, for enlightenment. So where does it all begin in terms of spiritual paths, the structure of the path? So in Mahayana Buddhism also, we do talk about the five spiritual paths. The first path is called the path of accumulation, or tsoglam in Tibetan. The path of accumulation itself consists of three different levels. Okay, there is the small level of the path of accumulation, tsoglam chung. There is the intermediate level of the path of accumulation, tsoglam ding. Then there is the advanced level of the path of accumulation, tsoglam chenpo. So you go through all those three levels of the path of accumulation, and then the next spiritual path is called the path of preparation, or jorlam in Tibetan. So as we are on this path of accumulation and path of preparation, our understanding of emptiness is still, you see, in a sense, very conceptual understanding, sort of an intellectual understanding, if you will.
Okay.
So now we are on the path of preparation. The path of preparation, or jolam, has four stages or the levels. There is what we call the jolam tre, which is the what we call the heat level of the path of preparation. And then there is the, you know, tsemo, which is the peak level of the path of preparation. And then there is the sherba, the patience, you know, level of the path of preparation. And then there is the super mundane level of the path of preparation called churcho. Okay? So we go through all these four levels or the stages of the path of preparation. And as we are doing that, we are refining, deepening our understanding of emptiness and experiences of emptiness. So once we, you know, graduate from these levels, we are on the path of seeing. Okay, Tonglam in Tibetan, this is where for the first time we have this direct non-conceptual understanding or experience of emptiness.
Zolam Zemo Zopas ta Rimba Jolam Zuba Rimba Sumadilena Ne Nyason Shigamar Zutan Zum Zutum Nyason Yum Yomandras. Zolam Zuba Tony any Nyason Shigamar.
So the path of preparation has four stages of the four levels. The first is called the Jolam Chö, heat level of the path of preparation. Then there is the peak level of the path of preparation. Then there is the patience level of the path of preparation, which is the third one. And then there is the super mundane level of the path of preparation. But when we are on the third level, you see, there's this, you know, extremely good news. Once we are on the patience level of preparation, from then onward, we will never ever have to worry about, you see, taking rebirth in any of the three bad migrations. Okay, so that's extremely, you know, good news. As Geshe-la was quoting the lines from Abhidhamma Kosha, Treasure of Knowledge, right? Shudok Nyenso Yomendo, right? Once you have the patience level of preparation, means you experience it, you will never go into the bad states. So I gave you a little bit of sense of the structure of the path here, because that's not the end of the story here, so I've got to stop there today, right? So this is just like my preliminary teaching, and I'll return to this wonderful text called Personal Advices from Kadamba Geshe. Here is the bottom line. If we are seeking complete enlightenment state, we must, right, we have to underline it, we have to bold it, we have to italicize it, whatever we need to do this, we must cultivate bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond. Okay, there's no other way around this. There's no excuse, there's no detouring, there's no, you see, sneaking around. This is it. Right? We've got to have bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond to become a Buddha. Well, the reason why I'm emphasizing it, you know, so much is that some people have this kind of a doubt or a notion that is, you know what, you can just kind of sort of like skip all of these things. You know, you don't need bodhicitta, you don't need the wisdom gone beyond. If you do some kind of a mantra, yantra, you know, something like that, then you're just going to fly, zoom right into the enlightenment, right? So it's like such a, you know, like a direct path and link to, it's just like you are skyrocketing yourself to enlightenment and you don't need bodhicitta. Now, I also want to clear another misconception notion here, like, you know, some people have a feeling that, you know what, they're kind of maybe humble or whatever the reason, it could be like, I really can't practice much for whatever my reasons, you know, I have my own justification, I can't do much, but I have good lamas, you know, I trust them, so I'll entrust them, you know, so they will do the job and they will just pull me out of samsara and all the, you know, bad situations, so I'm just fine. Well, again, sorry, the lama cannot do the job for us. Right, and Buddha himself was very clear about it. You know, he was not shy about it. You know, saying that what he can do or cannot do for us.
So when and this thing wa, ane dovi donge ni dovi donge shag ni dovi jin pong jus. Ya kai kai ngaran kai kai siya ma ina ni thabde churan zo kwa tang ni sung donge liu dovi thabde ane ni ten yos kan ni. Ta ti thabde an susu mano wal ti zo ni thabde ta ni ane.
In his famous declaration, our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha said, is that Buddhists cannot and do not wash our negativities and suffering with some kind of holy water. Can't do it. Okay? Buddha cannot remove our suffering literally with their hands, you know, with some kind of a magic show. You know, can't do it. Okay? Buddha cannot transfer their realizations into us like, okay, here's a, you know, Christmas, New Year gift. Gichila didn't say that, but you get the sense, right? No gift or realization here. Just can't do it. So he said, now what can I do for you? If I can't do all those things I listed, what I can do for you is that I will show you the true nature of reality. I reveal to you the true nature of reality, and you got to work at it, and you got to realize it. If you do that, right, then you will be liberated. So that's what I can do for you. Of course, in the Tantric Buddhist literatures, there's mention about, you see, the power of even, you know, this like a complete trust for a moment or intense faith in the gurus, because guru is an embodiment of all the Buddhas and traditional deities and all other realized beings. So it's like, you are everything, my guru. You are the Buddha, you are the, you know, meditational deity, you are the protector, you are one and all. So I completely entrust you and save me. And then in the Tantric literature, it seems like, yeah, they can do it, okay, but I'm not going to really go into any details here. That kind of faith has its own power, but maybe that's, we are not at that level yet. Okay, not just one moment of faith, as we talked about in Tantra, then our gurus can, you know, a chance for us, you know, to a better state. Maybe I should talk a little bit about this, you know, just to remove certain misconception or, you know, wrong notion that, you know, some of us could be holding here. In Tantric Buddhism, we talk about the, you know, how Tantric path can very speedily deliver us to the complete enlightened state. And relatively speaking, compared to the Sutrayana path, that really seems to be skyrocketing to the enlightenment, you know, in no moment. Okay? Now, that's all true, because in the Sutrayana path, or from perspective of the Sutrayana, Sutra discourses, it literally takes three great countless eons fulfilling the merit and wisdom, and then you become a Buddha. That is unimaginably long time. Okay? We have no disagreement over that. Now, in the Tantric Buddhism, if we are qualified and everything works well, it's not that we do not need to fulfill the accumulation of merit and wisdom for three great countless eons, but somehow the Tantric path, it cuts short all this time, you know, time constraints, right? Now, it only takes a little bit of time to be able to fulfill those accumulations and then become a Buddha really soon. And this all depends upon your Vajra master or the qualified Tantric master. So returning to this text where we left off last time, as the great Domtenpa was asked a series of questions and he was trying to answer them. So as a part of his answer, he was making a number of statements, right? So one of the statements he made was that one must cultivate love and compassion, meaning great love and great compassion. So the purpose of cultivating great love and great compassion, Mahamaitri, Mahakaruna, is to be able to cultivate bodhicitta. right? And as I mentioned to you, that there are two prominent meditational techniques to do that, and one is called six causes and one result technique, and other is called equalizing and exchanging self with others. Okay, so we already talked about the seven-point technique. I mean, that's a simple thing to say, rather than six causes, one result, you know. It's like tongue twister for me. Okay, so we talked about that already.
No, no,
So we have these two very powerful meditational techniques or the methods through which we can cultivate bodhicitta or bodhisattva's attitude within ourselves. We can follow either, let's say, by following the seven-point technique, which is, I mean, six causes, one result technique. If we have bodhicitta, we do not have to redo it through the other technique. Okay, you got it, you know? So as I was explaining to you before that, from Mahayana perspective, once we have renounced samsara, we have cultivated aversion to the misery in samsara, then we have to cultivate bodhicitta. As Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa says clearly in his three principal paths, he says, if that renunciation is not conjoined with pure bodhicitta, simple manner is not conjoined with that, right? What you do or practice cannot become a cause to achieve enlightenment. Therefore, therefore, the intelligent people should focus on cultivating
bodhicitta.
So let's talk a little bit about the second meditational technique for cultivating bodhicitta, which is called Dakshin Nyamche, equalizing self with others and exchanging self for others. So there are 5 points to this technique, and the first one is we have to what is called equalize self with others. Dakshin Nyamba. So what kind of equalizing we're talking about? It's not like, you know, everybody should be equally rich. Be rich, or everybody should be equally intelligent, or everybody should behave in the same way. You know, we're not talking, you see, equality in those terms. So this equalizing self for others is more to do with how can we balance out our attitudes inside us, right? It's to do with modifying our attitudes. So how do we equalize self with others? And as the great Tibetan master Penchen Losang Chuchi Genzen has very clearly stated in Guru Puja, and Geshe-la quoted a stanza from his memory, he said, when it comes to even a slight problem or a suffering, teeny weeny bit of suffering, nobody wants it. Okay, But when it comes to the happiness, right, nobody is really ever contented. So when we talk about how we are all same in those respects, right, again, we just can't think only about the fellow human beings, you know. We have to think about all the six types of sentient beings in samsara, all the six migrators in samsara are just the same. When it comes to suffering, we don't want even a little bit of it. When it comes to the happiness, we never had enough.
다 년대 전에 라다 세계 탐지 소기 야랑 소기 야니 다 디 로이톤이 반냥부 주소고 그래.
So in order to equalize, this is all to do with, you know, transforming our attitude. So we put ourselves on the one side and put all other sentient beings on the other side. So we kind of almost like facing each other, right? And now we're trying to, how should I say, modify our attitudes.
That's sentient suk, that the ranto zantan, tambo ali, ran zantu tambi, ran dung ekinuji kande kina, ran zumba ina, dugu duwestin, dugu munduwas.
So everything starts from our own oneself, right? We just look in our own state of mind and say, okay, how do I, you know, what do I want, you know? What is my whole attitude about suffering and happiness, right? So when a small suffering befalls me, do I like it? You know? No.
So that wrong doing it tomorrow's a mundo but then now you get that sent in the past sometimes.
So as we kind of, how should I say, unearth our own personal experiences, okay, I do not desire or aspire for any kind of, you know, problem or suffering. I don't want even a little bit of it. Now that seems to be true with all other sentient beings. Nobody seems to have a disagreement over this. Nobody wants it. So therefore, in terms of this attitude, I and all other sentient beings are just equal, just same.
That is wrong. Mato, that is Jani. That is our same. This is the view of ours. Gomne, you are under the shape of the.
So to be able to really bring about the inner transformation, we have to cultivate this attitude, meditate on it, right? It's not enough to listen to the teachings or the words, right? Then it seems like, okay, based on the sound and sound imageries and everything, it seems like, okay, that sounds like all makes sense. But we really don't have the experience. So the experience has to be born through meditation, meditational practice.
That gomju kande je na dambu tsig di chev je tsig donda di chev je tsig den tsig den yim di che su na ta donda la san no tang ni ta te nyong wa de ran ju chev je ta shi ren be ren be do gor ma to te da shi che ba zang je ni ta ran de 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 che sam ba ta ran ju che sam ba de ni che ji ma ba.
Of course, words are very important for us to develop understanding, right? We depend on the words of the teachings, the words of the text, or whatever, right? But then as, you know, we have to go beyond that, like we have to understand the real meaning of the words and started to rely less on the words. Now we are really more on the meaning. When we really got the meaning, then we really have to cultivate that familiarity with the meaning, which is what we call meditation. We cultivate more and more intimacy with this meaning, understanding that we have generated. And so therefore, you see, you know, it's very important for us to do the meditation, cultivation practice. It's not enough just to base our understanding simply on some words or sound imageries, you know, because that's not enough.
No, no. That the nyowa thongi zane, sando tomo ke ganga kishu ke lo te, te rang jula, she yomba, ta chagwe, this zane ta nyowa thongi zane.
So when we talk about experience, deep experience, what we're talking about is that's kind of understanding or the experience, it comes out spontaneously, right? By the power of our meditation and familiarization, like it just comes out like a very natural, very there's a spontaneity to our experience. This is what we call gaining experience.
Okay.
So as I said, there are 5 points to this technique called equalizing and exchanging self with others. The number one is, we say, to be able to equalize self with others means we should be able to understand the sameness, okay, the commonality between self and others. And then the second point is we need to reflect on the demerits or the disadvantages of a self-cherishing attitude or selfishness.
Mara Ral any Dungi Kishun Rip Kandichi Shumba in a Ranta Yin Sulia Kowe Nela and Dungi Chi Kandichi Shumba in Tsamalo Ran Kibran the Bikinzi Jawan Kita Shumba Shikadarista.
So here what we really try to understand is that whatever kind of misery or problem that I experience in my life or that I bring into somebody else's lives, misery and problem, it is all nothing but due to my self-centeredness or self-cherishing attitude.
That thing is the same thing that I have to do. That is enough. Rale, Mendepe, Rick, Kandichi, Shoma, Inatuzu, Katsama, Lolet, and Shoma, Ravas.
So again, I think it's very important for us to do a lot of analytical thinking, right? It's not enough just to say, okay, that seems to make sense. No, we have to find what are the rationales, the reasons behind that, right? How is that possible? Why are we blaming everything on self-judging attitude? Well, as we know, that, you know, our experiences are related to our karmic actions, okay? So karma is responsible for our experiences, good and bad.
Yin sakpe le nami de rang nyong ay sang kong jwa maris. Rang sakpe le de nami rang rang nyong ay de. That is sang kong jwa.
So each of us experience the outcomes or the results of our own karma. You know, we are not responsible for the karmas or the karmic actions of other people. They should be responsible for their karmas. Okay? So we do not experience the ripening results of other people's karmas. We are only experiencing what is called the ripening results, technical term, namin ti debu, of our own karmic actions.
Oh, ta kare ni tangi se rani kepan zebe, rani kepan zebe ta kinsi jo wang ke le megi le sa yin so kyo pa tang ani ko der nor kuba la so tang ni ko tang ani ta ni ting megi chun do was. So che ba ma ji ba len ba an ne de ve lo ren ba che ba nga gon jing tham ma zu nga che yi ji ba na se ne se me ge kyun do wa ta chen ha ko de yi ji mi dong ti ti ka do gon.
So basically, due to our self-centeredness or selfishness, or our self-judging attitude, that we find ourselves getting involved in negative karmic actions, whether it's killing someone, hurting someone, cheating someone, lying to someone, you see. And all the 10 negativities of body, speech, and mind that we often talk about as basic negativities, all of these are related to our self-cherishing attitude.
Okay. But the image is that the wrong keeper is the wrong keeper. The wrong keeper is the wrong keeper. The late na mi te rang kani ki nyongu yu te ha kogo remes. Ha kwa na, nga rang su te late sangu kawa ma res.
So because of our, like, you know, we are very extreme in terms of cherishing oneself, that's called a self-cherishing attitude, and to the extent that we engage in many negativities or wrong actions, and we really don't see the consequences of the negativities, because we think that, okay, this is what I really want, you know, I or the self is so important and, you know, most cherished thing. So in order to sort of provide whatever the self cherishing needs, then we engage in all those negative actions. So if we really do know that negative karmas are bad things to do and they bring negative outcomes, we are not going to get involved in those things. But we really don't think about it.
Maripati, dangzi maripati want shen sumbarnes.
So how do we, you know, end up cherishing ourselves like anything, you know, if as again, that self-cherishing attitude is due to self-grasping, grasping at self.
The rang khol khon dungen na so banyong go yate rang rang jil yepe ne dangzi maripati want sumbarnes.
So that self-grasping really is called the fundamental ignorance that we have, right? Because of that fundamental ignorance we have, grasping at self, then we experience self-cherishing attitude and all other things. Okay? So who is really keeping us in samsara? Or what is keeping us in samsara? If that's the question we pose to ourselves, it is our self-grasping.
Ta dangzi marik bai mei ba zongking gyomjik ta chunjia yunna mei ta dangzi dami tobi kheri dhiris.
So what is the antidote we have, the best antidote, the weapon, the tool, the technique we have to uproot that grasping itself you asked? This is what we were talking about before. Is it cultivating the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness or shunyata or sunata as it is? So the point I'm trying to make here is really we need to use our critical thinking and analytical thinking a lot as we, you know, deal with these issues. And a lot more to it than what I'm just sort of highlighting a little bit here and there, you know, just kind of giving you a direction here.
yin kebran zinbi kien zinka, zi ane ta yuantin go tomani sangguris.
Now the third point is through every possible ways we need to be able to understand and appreciate the benefits of cherishing others.
Te karre zina rala ta samjang rala lebi cho khanti ji ne rala gda dewa ki jun khanti ji ne to samal shonsat kani shomre zina ye kebran zembe kinzi ga ta wan wang shomre zin ding ta telet ne shomre.
So what we're trying to understand here is that every good thing that happens to me, right, a small good thing or a big good thing happened to me, is nothing but is due to cherishing other sentient beings. The cherishing others is the real source of happiness and prosperity. So what we didn't understand is whether it is suffering or it is happiness we're talking about, each of them has to come about through its own concordant causes and conditions, right? They do not happen randomly, right? If we are happy, it's not just like just by some coincidence, osmosis, you know, we are becoming happy. There has to be, you know, cause giving rise to our happiness. And so, you know, cherishing others is a real source, you know, real cause of happiness.
So the mana kibran zhe bichin zhe 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 yang penjilo zhe jesun warwa ane yuen zhe tangi zhe ye zhusa zawan dhe bhti yinsu kanu.
As the great Panchen Lhasa Shoji Jens again you know, talks about the benefits of cherishing others, he said this is really the source, you know, of benefits to all others, and this is the source of all kinds of realizations.
Te sher zhe 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 na ane te sher ane ta ka yin zhe ane
And Teshir, for that reason, or for those reasons, Teshir, therefore, so one should dedicate oneself to exchange self for others. That's what the Panchen Lhasa Shoji Jens says.
So the Tangaran Samalog Yele, Kuyev Shiata, Yele Tsukur Shiata, and ane yin ji tuan de le ane ka de yin le phlan ti ta le be chok to kan de ti yin na yin le ma ke phlan ja ba tu pe cha chim shi da reng do was.
So relating to this, I think we should be able to understand in how important it is for us to respect each other, other peoples, appreciate the goodness in others, you know, and because all of these things are related to as we say cherishing others.
Ona ta give the rest ta na ba de ke gin da ta yiba dharasi, yiba dharasi na ane dagi yiba nguyo se ta ranta yiba ta nguyo se ta getante ta nguyo se nguyo.
Okay, I'll, just for the sake of your benefit, I'll run through the list again. So the 5 points, first one is called equalizing self for others, to be able to understand the sameness between self and others. We talked about that. The second point is reflecting on the demerits or the disadvantages of self-cherishing attitude, okay, and why self-cherishing is no good. Number three is reflecting on the benefits of cherishing others, what is good about cherishing others. And number four, now, that I'm going to talk about, is the actual, you know, practice to exchange self for others.
Kusha ge end of the day, get a ge at Marivas. And the round yourself midday, you end of the day, Marivas. I am low to tell you, my future.
So, this actually we have talked about earlier is, you know, what when we say exchange self for others, this is not so much in terms of some kind of a physical changes, you know, we bring about. It's not like, okay, I offer my cushion or the seat to you. Okay, then it's like exchanged, you know, self for others. But again, it has more to do with our attitude, you know, inside us, our way of thinking. And Tibetans have a saying, as we have many sayings actually, you know, we say that, you know, put yourself in other person's place and put others in your place, you know.
Lama shibu tamba tsok, san shibu 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 shikar nansha. Te kunzu 다 xiao pomo yina tizuka talab tugu yorwa, rangsa mi yinsa rashi, rangsa mi tan yinsa rangsin.
So I think this has all to do with the positive influence of the holy masters of Tibet, you know, who are especially bent upon the practice of Thonglen, the practice of, you know, taking others' suffering and its causes upon themselves and bringing happiness and its causes to others, right? Because of that, even in the on the lips of the common Tibetans, you see, they may not know much about, you know, the deeper issues, but they have that kind of saying and they think this is what something good to do. Right? Put yourself in others' position or the place and put others in your place. So the actual practice of exchanging self with others, as I said, it's not really so much to do with offering one's seat or the chair to somebody else, but it's more to do with the inner transformation, and which is like instead of cherishing oneself like anything, now we try to learn to cherish other sentient beings. So learning to cherish others more than oneself. But there is an inner transformation, as we can see. So instead of being indifferent to other people's, you know, problems, now we try to be a little bit more indifferent to our selfishness, the self-interest, you know. So this is how we bring about that inner transformation or attitudinal changes within ourselves. So, I mean, we should be able to see this, you know, what we have been doing all this time is cherishing ourselves like anything over other people, sort of, you know. Now we want to change that, right? And, you know, before we have been indifferent to other people's welfare or the betterment, and it's, everything is to do with me and I, you know. And now we just start to change that attitude. So before, we always want the profits and the benefits and the success and all the best thing to ourselves, and we wish, you know, the bad things to others. Even if we don't wish it, if bad things happen to others, you see, this is like, okay, so what, you know. And in some cases, we might even rejoice, hallelujah, there it goes, you know. But you see, this all our attitudes have gone wrong, you see. Now we try to change our attitudes so that, you know, we don't rejoice in other people's, you know, misery and, problems. As a great Kadampa Geshe Langri Thangpa, in his famous 8 verses mind training or thought transformation, Lojong, states, right? Jongga Rangi Lembata, may I be able to take the loss or the defeat to myself. Jongga, okay? Loss and defeat. You know, Jongga Jega Shela Biusha, may I be able to bring the profits and benefits and the victory to other people. Okay.
No.
Other beings, I should say, not just people. Then it's human beings only, right? Other beings.
Oh, that's right. That then they say something. That is it. That ngapa the karma is na? They la ten is dahi. That jiangu is that only considerate.
No. So then the fifth point, which is like, you know, through that kind of inner transformation, what we really try to do here is now we are trying to kind of focus on the Tonglen practice. The practice of taking others' suffering and its causes to ourselves and giving happiness and its causes to others. So we just try to combine that attitudinal changes with the practice of Tonglen.
That Tonglen going to chane yen la mde pri kandi kindu na te so rang rang to chule rang la lipi so kandi chivi na te yen pa treya ta sang tango.
So what is central to the Tonglen practice is that whatever bad things and suffering and misery in other beings' life, we try to visualize taking all those things to ourselves. We wish, may all those things come to me. Okay? You see now how much changes we're making in ourselves? So it's like, bring it on. All the headaches and problems, just bring it to me. And then we try to wish and bring all the happiness and goodness to other beings. Of course, Tonglen is in a very profound and it can be done in a very extensive way. But just to give a taste of it is, what we're saying is that whatever problem I am experiencing now, by my experience of this problem, may all other beings who have similar problems or who may experience this problem, they don't have it yet, but they may have run into it again, right? May they don't have to ever experience such things. You see, this is how we bring about interchanges.
This
So when we think of any goodness, right, if we are really, everything is running smoothly with our life and everything, we said, okay, may all other sentient beings, my kind mothers, may their life be very smoothly run like mine. You see, may they all have the same success that I have, all the goodness that I have, all the fortunes that I have.
That's how can be known by social signet.
So when the days are very hot and scorching sun and we are really getting cold, so at times we can think that, okay, but there are my mothers in the hot hells and their suffering is much more intense. Okay, so by my experience of this, you see, scorching sun, may they be freed from their suffering. So we can still do Tonglen practice. So may, of course, we think about the hot hell beings as the primary focus, but we also think about all other sentient beings in a similar situations.
And then
in winter, if it is freezing cold, then we can think about by my experience of this intense cold, may the beings in the cold hells and in other cold regions, right, may they do not have the experience the suffering of cold. How about today's weather? Are you getting cooked today?
London lamar bise sanji mai te chambal de ngema seral ko lojo na yo res thunsa ko ji tiwa re chando re ji da ko seral lo ne anta dansa chambal jabu shi jabu ji shi sar.
Let me tell you a little bit story about one of the great Tibetan masters by the name of Longdo Lama Rinpoche. And he was born in the same native place as myself, like in Changdo. And he was educated at the Sera Monastic University. And so he became highly spiritually involved, and he even went and got a seat on the throne of the Shambhala king. So he became a Shambhala king.
Looks very, very
When his real life in this world, right, not in the Shambhala here, right, he looked such a, he looked very destitute monk, he's very poor, So, one of the techniques he adopted was during the summer, and he would purposely go into the hottest regions and bring his students there, and he would teach there purposely, And then in the winter, he would do the same thing, bring them to the coldest places, where the wind is so chilly and blowing like anything, and then he would just teach there.
Then,
And then he always kept a kind of a long stick next to him. If anybody is dozing off, right, then he will just hit you on the head.
Yes. That list number, what Yaga Sawa Kayin Chen Techi. Sunda Kagan Techi. Then in Gusayama. Taking Tin Chi Sene, Long Yonto Zosa Missuma today.
Yes. Of course, I mean, he didn't really hit you, but he just kind of poked into you a little bit, just wake you up, right? You're for dozing. And because of his, this method, right, I mean, he was giving the whole oral transmission of the 108 you know, plus volumes of sutras, which is very holy blessings, right? So at the beginning, they said there were like 300 people attending it, right, because he will purposely go into the hottest regions with the summer and coldest regions in the winter. But at the end, when he really completed oral transmission, only three people left with him. And those three were really like, by the end of that oral transmission, right, I mean, they become highly spiritually involved, evolved, okay? A lot of their bad karmas were purified, okay? So imagine that, starting with 300 or more, and at the end, you had only three left.
Yeah,
The point I'm making here is not that we necessarily torture ourselves, you know, just try to do that. But the point I'm trying to make is if we happen to be in is a certain unfavorable situation, but for the sake of Dharma, we should be able to put up with those things. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. So Buddhism, you know, prohibits any kind of self-torture as a spiritual practice, right? Because in the ancient time, as Buddhism was flourishing, there were other, you know, Hindu schools, not all Hindus, but certainly they would you know, they are one of the techniques was to the extent you self-torture yourself, you will be liberated sooner. So one of the techniques was if you jump onto the, you see, the spear or the trident, you know, you poke yourself, right? So then maybe you really, you know what I mean, right? So if you jump off the cliff, you jump over the trident and, you know, you just kind of lit fire to yourself and all those things, then you will be really purified pretty soon. Okay? But from Buddhist point of view, if you do all those things, right, if you really torture yourself, I mean, that's one of the serious negativities you're creating because human, precious human life is very rare to find. So you cannot torture yourself, you cannot kill yourself because that itself is a bad karma.
Oh, yeah.
So let me kind of you know, highlight some of the important things we talked about relating to the Bodhicitta teachings here, that as practitioners or as followers of Mahayana Buddhism, we have to teach ourselves to learn to consider others more important than oneself. And all of us, you know, we need to attach more importance to fulfilling the betterment of the future lives rather than getting all stuck, you know, sucked into this life's problems. You know, this life is important to take care of, but future lives are more important. Yes. So I have some prayer requests and announcement. First, I'll make the announcement, which is, by the way, reminding again, that Geshe-la will be giving refuge vows or precepts on September 10th, Monday at 7:30 here. If people are interested, so they are welcome to do that. So September 10, Monday, 7:30 in the evening, people who would like to take you know, refuge, they're welcome to do that. And then there are some prayer requests here, people who have passed away, Sering Dorje, Frank Hughes Palmer, oh, he's already there, I got another one, okay. He's, I think, not really passed away, maybe, you know, struggling with that, as far as I know. Nguyen Diet Quang, passed away on July 15th. Mike Lyons, this second anniversary, and then Beatrice Watanabe, I think, is very ill. And then all other people, we haven't got the names here, but mm-hmm. who are in the same situations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, na kuna le. Kuna namji shuga. Jesa kuna kapala chongjas.
And so Geshe-la wants to just introduce you to a Tibetan girl over there. Her name is Nam Gyal, and we have got a butter lamb's lead there. This from her. You know, her dad, whose name is Sering Dorji, passed away.
Jesa ten thanda de. Who's a lawyer?
Christine Woodings. What is her mother's name? Oh, yes, is there? Yes, okay. Yes. Oh, that's in. Yeah, Nguyen Dit Quang is, yeah. Yes, that game.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
That thing, right? That, when you don't turn, 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 turn,
For those who have who are no more with us, we dedicate our prayers. May they be able to, in at least one time, avoid the bad rebirth, and then find precious human rebirths. And through that, you know, they be fortunate enough to meet with Dharma, and then through their own practice, take care of themselves. Okay. You know, for their futures. And of course, not just the people whose names are here, but you know, many others who have passed away too. So we think about all of them. And those who are very, you know, dealing with the health issues, we pray that may they be able to recover from their, you know, sicknesses soon, and then be able to, I should say, you know, engage in positive actions and take better care of themselves.
Oh, my name is The one thing you know,
by the power of our collective marriage, may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and His sacred body, speech and mind mandalas be unharmed by the malicious intentions of both the humans and the non-human beings, and may all other holy beings also live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Donna, Magin Singi Tamji, Dunyiji Wali Tony, Sanji Komporombaki Toki Jurjigi.
Last but not least, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration and maybe all reach complete enlightened state quickly. I just want to share the information that today is considered Tibetan Democracy Day in Exile, September 2nd. Although maybe that's something important for Americans. We are a democratic nation. And also Happy Labor Day, everyone. Yeah.